This is a Dragon Blazer production.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Apologist Podcast, where we love pro wrestling, and sometimes that's okay. And today is a very special, spooky episode. Okay, there we go. Nice delayed sound effect. That's right, it's Halloween in July. We are covering the horror show at Extreme Rules, WWE's pay-per-view on the WWE Network. I'm your host, Craig Atkins, and with me today is a man who just got done losing a match where the loser has his metabolism removed, Steven.
Pardon? I don't even understand what's going on now.
It's a bad joke.
Screw you.
I apologize. No, I don't. So, all right, Steven, let's hear your WWE best and worst this week.
All right. Well, we had a decent Raw.
Yep.
SmackDown was all right, too.
Yeah, both were good. Definitely better than last week's SmackDown.
Drew had a pretty intense promo on Dolph when he said he was going to hurt and maim him, which was, I thought that his promo was pretty decent. Had a fun promo from the Iconics, and Ruby Riott introduces her tag partner, Bianca Belair.
Bianca Belair. It's Belair.
She is the EST of WWE.
She's the fastest, the strongest, the bestest. Okay.
Oh, well, I feel like I might have to argue that, but I will get back to that. So,
I love Bianca Belair, by the way. She was great in that promo, and then, of course, we'll get to the match.
All right. R-Truth is still acting crazy, and somehow stays crazier than the fact that he's feuding with ninjas.
Yeah.
And then
it's been fantastic.
Baszler comes out to destroy some ninjas for some odd reason.
She's got to do something. She hasn't been on TV since with the Money in the Bank.
Well, here's the thing. I thought she was going to win the 24-hour championship.
I kind of thought that's what was going to happen, too.
Which is why I said, for some reason, because she doesn't do that. She cuts a promo to tell the WWE
whoops on some ninjas.
Yeah, she does whoop on some ninjas. Just tells the WWE Universe that she is going to shatter their reality.
Yes.
Here's more of the bad. Seth Rollins complaining that the eye for an eye match is weird. And he's not wrong.
It's a little strange.
Yeah. And then he explains how Ray won't be able to see his wife and kids because he's going to be blind. Because he's going to take out his eye.
Yes.
I wasn't a fan of this.
You weren't?
I was not. And then Owens comes out and
offers, you're not going to elaborate there?
I'm not
a fan of the whole angle in general.
No, I'm not enjoying this whole eye for an eye.
You're not a fan of the fact that somebody's losing an eyeball tonight?
No, not a fan. And then Owens comes out and offers Seth an eye patch so he can become a pirate.
Yes.
So, this is just silliness.
It is. It is. But we're going to see a man lose an eyeball tonight.
Yeah. And then the next part
sanctioned professional wrestling match.
Yes. Just taking out an eyeball. But it is the horror show.
Yeah.
So, SmackDown had a weird start. Just a bunch of superstars.
I liked it.
Quick promos.
Let me talk about that. I loved that. I want them to continue that. It felt different.
It was different.
Yeah, I hope they continue with that every week. I really liked that. Just given like short little previews for every segment coming up.
Yeah.
I thought that was excellent. That's one of my favorite new things they've done recently, and I hope that stays, and I hope it's a SmackDown exclusive thing too.
Well, my favorite was Morrison claiming to fight Jean-Claude Van Damme on a yacht.
Yeah.
And this thing is completely terrifying.
I enjoyed the greatest professional wrestler in the WWE, Big E, saying that his fist was the Swiss Superman Cesaro's Lois Lane. But look in the sky, is that a bird? Is that a plane? It's a Swiss Cesaro, or Swiss Superman Cesaro, and my fist is his Lois Lane.
Yeah. This is kind of a... I like it, love it, found it weird, in a kind of a good way. Cross-confusing Clairvoyant with her Aunt Claire.
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
I thought it was funny.
And then she just keeps getting confused, and it's kind of cute. It's adorable. Good promo of craziness by a cult version of Wyatt. And yeah. Then... I liked, Braun squashed some people and then tells Wyatt he's coming home.
Yep.
Also, apparently Lacey is a heel again.
Yeah, that just kind of happened, which I'm glad. She's better as a heel than a face anyway.
Well, I did find her tactic of tying Naomi's hair interesting. I thought,
yeah.
I don't think I've seen that too many times.
I thought that was cool.
Unfortunately,
Naomi deserves so much more.
Yeah.
She's, I mean, the fact that she's not a 10-time champ by now is...
Right. Unfortunately, her evil laugh is kind of cringe. Was not a good laugh.
Yeah.
Still hate everything with Jeff and Sheamus. Moving on.
Yeah. Which, by the way, they advertised they were supposed to have a bar fight. And I don't think that's on the card tonight.
Oh, really?
I assumed it was going to be like a cinematic bar fight, but I don't think that's on Extreme Rules card tonight. At least not on the card that we saw. But if it's going to happen, we'll get there.
Now, that would be my worst of the night, but it was small and relatively
just there.
It was there. And then I like the ending where AJ Styles gave respect to Riddle.
Sort of.
Well, he doesn't help him out. I put that in my note. He doesn't help him out sort of. When Corbin attacked him.
After a really good match with Riddle.
Yeah, it was a really good match.
Really good match for the Intercontinental title.
But I'm curious what that respect means for AJ. Is he starting to...
Maybe head... I don't know. I don't know what to say there.
I'm not sure. But my worst and best of the night. My worst... is I'm coming back. Bianca's Kiss of Death looked really clunky. It looked to me like she didn't have the strength.
I loved every single thing about Bianca Belair. She's a star.
I thought her finisher. I think it looks like it could be weird, but it felt botched to me. I haven't seen her finisher.
I don't know if it's deserving of worst of the night, but plenty worse stuff than that that happened.
My best was...
My rebuttal to that also is that you look clunky, but carry on.
I thought it looked clunky. My best of the night was the insane elbow on Sasha.
Yeah.
And then,
Kyrie back in the ring again.
And yes, I love Kyrie Sane. I watched the tournament that she won. The Mae Young Classic. I watched the first one and was a fan of her through the whole thing and was very happy to see her win. So I have a special place in my heart for Kyrie Sane. And her elbow on Sasha was just fantastic.
Yeah,
and then,
it's always great. It might be the best elbow drop in the business at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that. And then Sasha, after that elbow drop, does this really cool reversal into the bank statement. I really enjoyed that as
well.
So that was my favorite of the week.
All right. That's all you got?
That is all I have.
All right, we're going to get into Extreme Rules, or I'm sorry, the horror show at Extreme Rules. Extreme Rules kind of started as the ECW One Night Stand pay-per-views back, when was that? Back in like,
well,
07, was it?
The first official was 2009 of Extreme Rules, so yeah, probably
2007. I think 2007 was when it was ECW One Night Stand, which ended up becoming two nights of One Night Stand because there's one again the following year. They were really fun pay-per-views with, you know, throwback to ECW. It was a lot of ECW matches or matches with ECW superstars mixed in with WWE superstars. And the second one was when RVD finally won the big one, finally won the WWE Championship from John Cena. And it started to become Extreme Rules the following year, where with the idea of they dropped the ECW from it. It was supposed to be kind of like their extreme version. Then over the years, it's just kind of become another pay-per-view like all of them with a few stipulations. Up until this year, it's gone a little batshit this year thanks to the coronavirus.
Well, you know, it is the horror show now.
So, Steven, what were some of your least favorite and favorite Extreme Rules?
Well,
moments throughout the years.
One of my favorites is the CM Punk versus Jericho Chicago Street Fight in 2012.
Yeah.
Extreme Rules. Both of my least and best.
When I came over here today, you were watching that, kind of reliving it, and I sat and watched it, and man, I miss crowds. I miss crowds, and crowds were hot for CM Punk. Also,
oh, yeah,
I have
in
to.
Chicago, so yeah.
Yeah.
Insane.
Oh, yeah. And also seeing Jericho a little younger, but a lot skinnier. Jericho's pretty jacked these days.
Yeah, yeah. It was a really fun match. It involved a lot of kendo sticks, which my least favorite also involves kendo sticks. much less satisfying versions of the kendo sticks. It had Jericho taunting CM Punk's sister by beating the crap out of CM Punk in front of her, and CM Punk's sister smacking him.
Yeah. Who is not his real birth sister. She's like his best friend, but he grew up with her and called her his sister.
Oh,
a little,
okay.
Little fun fact. I can't remember her name.
Do not think they mentioned that on the show.
Yeah.
And then there's also Jericho pouring beer over CM Punk, who is very famously straight edge, no drugs, no alcohol. Just a really fun, good match. One of my worst, though, is Alexa Bliss versus Bayley in a kendo stick on a pole match in 2017.
Yeah, and I believe that had the... Didn't that have the awful storyline build up with the Bayley, this is your life segment.
I believe what's considered one of the worst segments
of all time.
Yeah, I believe that was in during that time. So I think the build up really helped make this one of the worst moments of Extreme Rules.
Sorry, I don't have a cough button. We're not a professional. So you'll hear the occasional coughing, meowing, and dishes being washed in the background.
Yeah.
So that brings us to the year 2020. I'm Craig. This is 2020. And we have the horror show Extreme Rules. Very different Extreme Rules than what we've seen before in some parts. And 2020 itself being a horror show. This match is kind of representative of that, I'm assuming, or this show, I mean, is representative of that. So we start up the first match. Well, first off, the kickoff was Kevin Owens defeating Murphy. We didn't watch it,
no.
But I'm sure it was good. So we get the first match. It's the champions, the New Day, versus Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro in a table match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
Yeah, some of the most underrated wrestlers in WWE.
Four of my absolute favorites.
Yeah.
With Big E being my favorite right now.
Yeah. All these men should be championship, world champions by now.
Kofi's the only one that's gotten there.
Yes.
And Shinsuke sniffed on it a little bit.
Which is sad, because Shinsuke, when he first came into the... I thought he was going to go straight to it. All right, and on to the match. There was some cool spots in this one. Kofi stomping on Cesaro from the top rope.
Yeah.
Was really... it just looked brutal.
Yeah.
Big E spearing Cesaro. He was on the outside of the ropes, speared him through to the outside, which was really cool.
Yeah, they kind of landed on the ramp.
Kofi looks like he injured himself.
Yeah, that was a crazy spot. And I have to add, these portions of the show are actually live. It's the first thing they've done live in a while.
Oh, wow.
Because everything's been pre-recorded on Raw and SmackDown lately. So these portions are live. Obviously, there's a couple of matches that aren't going to be live, like a swamp fight and a eyeball removal fight.
No, I'm sure that's live. Big E kind of throws Kofi out to land on Cesaro and Shinsuke, and Shinsuke and Cesaro pick up a table, and Kofi just pancakes into that table.
Yeah.
It just looked painful. I also enjoyed Cesaro doing the big swing, and Shinsuke just kneeing, I believe it was Kofi. And then it ends with Cesaro powerbombing Kofi into two tables for the win.
Yes. Yep, and that looked brutal, and Kofi just kind of didn't move. He was done. And so we have new champs, Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro.
Which I can't hate. I love Shinsuke.
Cesaro. He's just always that tag team partner. I wish he'd get the singles run, but our Twitter poll had you all voted, 83% thought that New Day would retain.
83%.
Yeah. And 17% thought Shinsuke and Cesaro would win, and the 17% of you were correct. This is a fun match. I really liked it.
It was a really fun match.
Good opener.
I liked it a lot. And
New Day is now, they've lost the titles off of their impressive 8th title reign.
You know, it's not like New Day needs
the... Yeah, they can go for a 9 eventually.
I mean, eventually, but they've held the titles quite a bit. They're still one of the most beloved tag teams of all time. So
they're the best.
So, I mean, I'm glad we got Shinsuke and Cesaro. Yeah. I'm really glad.
Yeah.
Still think they need to be huge single stars, but WWE... I don't know what their problem with Cesaro and Shinsuke is. But at least they're tag champs.
Yeah, and maybe this can lead to something else down the road with them feuding with each other or something. All right, so now we're going to our next match. It's for the SmackDown Women's Championship with Bayley, the champion, versus Nikki Cross. Take it away. No stipulation this one, just straight up match.
Straight up match. First off, Nikki's tornado DDTs look devastating.
Yeah. Yeah, Nikki put her working boots on for this match. This was a good showcase for her as a singles competitor.
Yeah, especially when Nikki and Bayley fight under the apron.
A whole lot of apron wrestling in this match.
Nikki kicks out of the Bayley to belly. That was pretty impressive, kind of.
Yeah.
I feel like wrestlers kick out of finishers a little too often these days.
Yeah.
But she did it.
Except for the Claymore. Claymore puts him down.
Yeah. Then there was a brutal knee to Cross after she tries a roll-up.
Yeah.
That was
cool.
That was kind of rough. And this one ends with Sasha sneaking her boss knuckles to Bayley, who punches Cross in the stomach and pins Cross while the ref wasn't looking.
Yeah.
Punches her while the ref isn't looking.
So. Yeah. Let's see if Bayley is so quick to help Sasha later on tonight.
Well, yes, let's see. I enjoyed Bayley and Sasha, like, mocking her with the Sasha pretending to punch Bayley.
Yeah.
As they were leaving.
Yep. Sasha. Bayley's still a hugger when it comes to Sasha and nobody else, which is understandable in this Corona world.
Yeah, I can't trust
But I don't think it's Corona related. I think she's just all out of hugs.
Right?
So you all on the Twitter poll have this one at 67% Bayley winning and 33% Nikki Cross. So you were accurate. Good job, all of you.
Go you.
Go you.
All right.
All right. Going on to the next thing. All right. So now we go on to a Firefly Funhouse with various creepy images. And we go to Bray, who's dressed like a vampire in a lab.
Yep, we got a new face of Wyatt.
It's just Bray. It's a vampire in a lab. Bray introduces the most horrifying, revolting thing ever seen. And it's a quick clip of the awful karaoke segment on SmackDown from a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
I lolled. That was good. Bray says that was the wrong clip, and then he doesn't play a clip.
Yeah, he just
it just ends, so I think he's referring to the swamp fight later on. So we go to the United States Championship match, Apollo versus MVP, or we don't. Unfortunately, Apollo is unable to compete tonight, and the reason given is that he was unable to pass his pre-match physical. I have no clue what this is all about.
This is weird. I kept expecting Apollo to show up out of nowhere or somebody to show up out of nowhere, and no. So,
you can't help but think this, maybe Apollo showed up with a fever or something or was sick and couldn't come in.
Possible corona or something.
I'm going to try to look for updates throughout the show, and if I get an update, I'll let you all know. I don't know what this is all about. But he wasn't able to have his match, so MVP tells Bobby, you can't go around putting on that full Nelson so hard that it'll hinder MVP's career. And then he laughs. They share a laugh. They laugh together. Laugh. He declares himself the winner by forfeit and declares himself the United States champion, holding that new belt. And then Byron Saxton says, it does not work like that. So,
yeah,
says that he is not the champion.
Very disappointing match.
Yeah. Very, I guess you can say that.
Yes,
it was. So, now we're going to get into the real main event of the night. Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio in an eye for an eye match. But before we get into this match, I'm going to give you a brief history on ocular trauma in the realm of professional wrestling.
Oh, well, good. Book facts.
We're going to go back to 1990, the year 1990, the year in the year of our Lord, when Stan Hansen and Vader, they're having a match in All Japan. After already getting his nose broken by a swinging bull rope, Vader, that is, Hansen starts pounding on Vader's face. And then, in Vader's words, he got back in the corner, and I was looking for the right and forgot he was a lefty. He went wham, wham. And about the third one, my eye literally came out of my socket.
Ugh.
Hanging out on the side of his face, the sucker popped right out of my cheek. You couldn't see it because the mask was on. So I went, Stan, you popped my eye out, you motherfucker. And I pushed it back in. Everything happened so quickly, and it popped out. I shoved it back in and kept fighting, and then he went on to finish the remaining 20 minutes of the match after popping his own eyeball into his head.
Badass.
R.I.P. Vader, you were a real one.
Damn.
Ugh. Now go to Brutus the Barber Beefcake, who had a near-fatal parasailing accident, where another parasailer was flying a little low and ran their knee into Brutus's face, completely obliterating his entire face. There, I mean, I believe the way that it was described is that his face was, every single bone is in his entire face was shattered.
Oh, wow.
It almost killed him. There was a time that his friend Hulk Hogan visited him at the hospital. The doctors asked Hogan to help motivate Beefcake. He had been in a coma. He was coming to. So Hogan was able to coax his old friend out of bed. The two went for a walk. Beefcake's condition was so delicate, however, that the exercise caused his own eyeball to pop out of his head. As reported by Bruce Pritchard, Hogan's response was, "Shit, brother, you're right." And in more recent times, we've seen wrestlers that have had to go the way of the pirate and wear an eye patch from either legitimate or storyline reasons. Jeff Hardy, Naomi, Cesaro, recently Jon Moxley after being spiked in the eye by Jericho. And of course, there's John Cena, who inflicts temporary blindness on his opponents every single time he comes out to the ring. Can't see him.
No.
And that leads to our next match. Weeks ago, the dastardly Seth Rollins drove through the eyeball of Rey Mysterio into the pointy end of the ring steps to destroy his eyeball. Will he take the other eye tonight? Let's find out. Oh, sorry. We just got done watching the next match.
Yes.
This next match is for one ball. Eyeball, that is.
Oh, jeez. This is just...
An eye for an eye, an eye for an eye, an eye for an eye, an eye for an eye. Go on, Steven.
I don't want to. let's see. Oddly enough, as much as I hate this match, it's been the best match of the night so far.
Been the best and worst match of the night so
best
far.
Best and worst. Best, because it was a fun, hardcore match. Rollins gets thrown into the ring post.
Two of the best guys in the business. We got the veteran Rey Mysterio, who's obviously always great. And Rollins, who's been always great. Not always great on the mic. Not always great promo.
Yeah.
But two great wrestlers.
Well, when Rollins got thrown into that ring post, it was like, ouch. And then I realized more ouches. What's going to happen?
It was an ouch fest.
Yeah, like Seth doing a Falcon Arrow on the outside of the ropes.
That was cool.
To Rey. That just... Whew, that looked painful. Rey baseball slides on top of a table, and Rey is safe.
Yeah.
Seth uses the most unconventional eyeball removal devices, like a kendo stick, a pen, steel chair, yes. Rebar.
It's very unconventional.
Like,
why didn't somebody come in with, like, an ice cream scoop?
Oh.
An ice pick.
Yeah.
A spoon would be just fine.
Well, Rollins does his best, he tries to do a horror movie thing and stick the kendo stick right into the ring post and ram right into it.
Yes.
He does not succeed.
No.
Rey running through the ropes and out into Seth for a cool rolling powerbomb.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
It's probably the best part of the match.
Rey does the 619 and no eyeball pops out. No. Very sad.
I was saying to Steven, what I wanted to see was like a cartoonish eye pop, like a 619, and then you just see bloop. You just see Seth's eyeball go flying. Or like a curb stomp and Ray go bloop.
Unfortunately, it was not a cartoonish eye pop. It was...
Well, first off, Ray removed the patch from the already injured eye. Yeah. And from at that point, I was like, I said to Steve, like, well, Ray's going to lose because they're just going to remove the eye that's already been injured.
Ray also stole Seth's curb stomp.
Yes. I guess I'm getting ahead of it here.
Well, it ends with Seth. Well, I was going to mention that Seth getting his eye pushed in the steel steps was legit disturbing. Mm-hmm. And then right afterwards, Ray gets his eye.
His already injured eye that.
Pushed into the steps. And they literally, like, while Ray is holding his face, you can just see a little eye pop.
Yeah, like a little prosthetic eye. And they showed Rollins was going to go, like, prepare to hurt him some more. And then he saw the eye already popped out and just turned around and started vomiting.
Yeah, I have here, Seth and I both want to vomit, but Seth actually succeeds.
Seth starts vomiting. They've got, I don't know if, like, when the camera pans away, if we got a ring guy, it's like, here, pea soup. And spew this.
I hate things with the eye, and this whole match was all about the eye.
I, for one,
thought
this was a good match, aside from the eye stuff.
Yeah, it was. It was a good match. This
the eye stuff, obviously, is just silly and stupid.
I really wanted to hate
and
it.
And Rollins
it
vomiting.
Match.
It was a good match. It was a fun match. Two great veterans. So our Twitter poll for the Eye for an Eye match had 67% of you thought that Seth Rollins was indeed going to remove the eyeball of Rey Mysterio. 33% of you thought Rey would win. So, good job, y'all, you sick bastards.
Why did good you even job. Vote? Why did you even vote?
That was a trick. You shouldn't have even voted.
Yeah, no.
Moving right along. All right, so we got somber announcers with their somber voices. They're pretty torn up about Ray's eyeball. And we go to Bailey, who is also somber, and says that she's a huge fan of Ray. He's one of her favorites. She grew up watching him, and she has a message for Ray. You have a long road ahead of you, and I want to say, you're not seeing double because I'm still Bailey Dose Straps. Ha ha, she starts laughing, they all laugh, or there's laughter. She hypes up Sasha, says they're going to hold all the gold and everything will be right with the world. Sasha says she's about to become two belt Spanks. And now we go to the match. Does that happen? It's Sasha versus Asuka in a singles match, one fall. Take it away.
So, to be honest with you, even after watching this, I can't really say whether she won the title or not.
Yeah. Bit of a wonky, crazy finish there.
Yeah, we had a cool armbar reversal for Asuka that was cool at the beginning. Sasha continuously using her knees to destroy Asuka. a lot of new moves by Sasha. Sasha was trying to torture Asuka's hand or fingers.
Yeah,
just like. And then suggest biting her hand.
Yeah.
There was a cool dodge Asuka does, and then gives Sasha a devastating spinning elbow.
Yeah, I think her eyeball popped out.
Don't know about that. Then there was Asuka dropping Sasha from the middle rope with a code breaker. Or whatever they call that nowadays.
Yeah. I don't know if you can call it that, but...
Not sure what you call it, but a double knee.
Yeah.
It looked like the code breaker. Sasha picks up Asuka and power bombs her into the plexiglass.
It was cool.
It was cool.
Some Nice show of strength by Sasha there.
Then we get a nice frog splash from Sasha.
Beautiful frog splash.
Indeed.
Tribute to Eddie.
Indeed. Asuka performs a very painful looking German suplex on Sasha.
Yeah.
Then, this was weird, and I'm not entirely sure, it felt like a botch, but Sasha tripped off the turnbuckle.
Yeah, she kind of like, I don't know if it was a planned spot, or, because she kind of tripped, fell on her knee a little bit, and then started selling her knee, so I couldn't tell if it was either a planned spot, or it just happened, and she turned it into a spot, because she was really favoring her knee after that, and she got up yelling, "I have to win the title! I have to win the title, Asuka!" So if it wasn't planned, she owned it.
I agree that she owned it, but normally with something like that, it's either storyline related, or like somebody interfered, and no one interfered, and they really wasn't playing off that Sasha's knees were injured, so I think she just accidentally fell.
Yeah. But
poor Sasha.
But it didn't look bad. I mean, it looked like it. You know, the announcers were saying that she was selling her knee, that she had hurt her knee.
Then right after Bayley tries to interfere, Kairi Sane interrupts her and then gets a Bayley to belly for her efforts. And then we get a cool series of reversals between Sasha and
Did
Asuka.
You miss that part where she attempted it? Powerbomb, or or she attempted to move off the ropes, she attempted a suplex off the ropes. I mean, and Sasha flipped and landed on her feet.
Yeah,
that was an amazing spot. It looked like if Sasha would have landed that, she would have landed right on her neck, but she was able to flip and land on her feet, and it was a really really cool spot.
Yeah, that was right before she tripped off the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
And then the ending of this has Asuka accidentally spitting green mist at the ref.
Yeah, well, she tries to spray it in Sasha's face, and Sasha is able to duck it.
Yeah.
And it goes right into the ref's face.
And then Bayley whacks Asuka with the title, and then Bayley steals the ref's t-shirt.
She takes the ref's shirt. So I'm hoping that someone, like, let the ref know ahead of time that he's going to be shirtless on this day, so he could like skip a meal and do, you know,
right.
Do a few extra crunches. He's like, "Got some news for you. You're going to be shirtless." Well, so he ate a salad that day, did some crunches.
Oh yeah. Well, Bayley does the 1-2-3 and Sasha wins?
Sure, they didn't ring the bell, so Bayley came out and forced them to ring the bell. And Bayley decided she's the ref. She gives the title to Sasha. They celebrate as if she had won.
Now
her music hits.
We both assumed that Sasha would lose because of Bayley's interference. And instead, Bayley's interference helped Sasha win.
My guess is maybe rematch on Raw tomorrow.
Yeah, very much possible. Very likely.
I know on the poll, we got 71% of you thought that Asuka would retain, and 29% of you thought Sasha would win. You're both right and wrong. So, good job, y'all.
But it was a really good match.
Very good match. Match of the night so far.
Yeah, so
nobody
far.
Lost an eyeball. Everybody was kept intact.
It was, yeah.
Well, the ref might have lost his eyeballs. That's he lost his eyeballs in his shirt.
He probably had some blurry vision.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he probably saw those two belts and was fine, you know, did a double vision.
All right, moving along. All right, so we go to an update on Ray. The optical nerve was not severed, so they're going to Vader that thing and pop it back in, and he's good to go. They're going to rescue his eyeball. Mm-hmm. So now we're going on to our title match for the evening, our WWE heavyweight title match of the evening. It is Dolph Ziggler versus Drew McIntyre in a stipulation of Dolph's choosing. He's been holding off on revealing what the stipulation is until tonight, and it is a, just like I predicted, an I Got Your Nose match.
That is incorrect.
It's where one man wins by removing, by taking his two fingers and just pulling off the nose of his opponent.
That is very wrong. It was actually a Dolph gets Extreme Rules.
And oh, yes, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, I guess it wasn't a.
And
I forgot it was dream booking again.
Drew can literally do nothing but win with a pin.
A
he gets
Extreme
counted out,
Rules for Dolph Ziggler match, and but for Drew, it's just a regular match.
Except for if he gets counted out, he loses the title.
Yep. So Dolph is allowed to use any weapon. You know, he's allowed to be outside of the ring as long as he wants. He's allowed to remove his eyeball. He's allowed to do all those things. Drew can't do any of those things.
None of them. So this match starts off with this beautiful punch to Ziggler. Just enjoy Drew just punching
his
Ziggler.
Quick jabs.
It's like my new favorite thing. Just punch to Ziggler, punch to Ziggler. Dolph tries to trick Drew into using a chair. In fact, there's a few times that he just tries to get...
tosses the chair at him.
Yeah. Then Drew tries to... picks him up for a suplex, and it looks like he's about to fall on a table. And he turns around and avoids the table and just...
drops him on the floor.
Drew then picks Dolph up from the ground to pick him up for a powerbomb. Just an amazing feat of strength there. Then Dolph kicks him, Drew in the balls.
Right in the mommy daddy button. Quote fat bastard from Austin Powers.
Dolph hits,
another Scotsman.
Dolph hits Drew in the back with a chair while draped over a chair, choking him. Then there's a really nice spot where Drew does a famouser off the announce table.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Then
on off the announce table onto the mat or onto the floor.
Drew does a clothesline from hell. That was just a tough clothesline. Then there was a zit after Dolph hits Drew in the leg with a chair. He does a zigzag on him.
Mm-hmm.
Then Ziggler goes for like all of his signature moves. Zigzag.
The greatest hits of Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah. All at one time, back to back to back. And the final
like, hey guys, remember this? Hey guys, remember this?
The final one was that a rock bottom? On a chair?
Sort of.
And he still doesn't win.
Nope.
And then Dolph dies by Drew with the claymore in the ring.
Oh, man, you're burying the lead here. He starts tuning up the band.
Oh, yeah.
Dolph's tuning up the band to do the super kick. And then he starts the process of the super kick. And Drew just
murders him.
Yeah, just springs up last second and Claymore kicks him in the face.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Great match.
Yeah, really enjoyable match. Yeah, I guess that's all. Just really good match.
Really good match.
Really good title match.
And I love the stipulation.
Yeah.
Exactly what you should get from a heel.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a got-your-nose match, but...
I know.
It was...
Yeah. I think
it was still fine.
We had enough with face matches, you know, with the eye for an eye match. We don't need a got your nose match as well. Alright.
Moving along. And now for the main event of the evening, the swamp match. Swamp fight. Ray Wyatt, the Wyatt compound swamp fight, whatever you call it. Braun Strowman versus the old Bray Wyatt. Yes. And it starts with Braun shows up in a big old truck, wearing a big old trucker hat. And Bray is rocking in a rocking chair. Braun says, "I'm home." Bray disappears into laughter and thin air. There's a sign that says, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here." Braun destroys the rocking chair. There's pigs and vultures. Random Wyatt members appear and attack him, including one and a wife beater that kind of looks like Luke Harper-ish. He's not, of course. We know where Luke Harper is now. He's deceased. And now there's a cult leader that looks like him elsewhere. They splice in with Funhouse Bray in a lab saying, Braun, he's our man. If he can't do it, no one can.
That was my favorite part.
A Doppelstroman appears. A wild Doppelstroman appears in a sheep mask.
Yeah, this is just batshit insanity.
He knocks Braun out and chains him up. The old Wyatt theme plays, and the old Bray Wyatt shows up with a lantern. Bray welcomes him home. Braun says he hates him. Bray says, "You can't hurt me, I'm already dead." There's like baby doll legs and bones and masks all over the place.
Yeah, I don't question him.
He asks, "Do you like what I've done with the place?" Braun does not respond to that, whether he does or not.
Which is rude.
Bray is trying to sway Braun to his side, says humanity is a bacteria. I think it's more like a coronavirus. Together, we can be like gods. We can rule the world like prophesized. We learn that Swamp Bray is watching through the eyes of the other iterations of Bray, unable to take control. Sister Abigail shows up. It's the first time we actually see her. We finally see her. Her face is covered. She brings a snake, and it bites Strowman, which snaps Strowman back into the swamp where he's mid-fight with all the different random Wyatt members. He beats the hell out of them, sets one of them on damn fire. Sister Abigail shows up again and lifts her veil to reveal that she looks like Alexa Bliss. She starts saying, "Come home, Braun. Come home." And Braun is all like, "Me like Alexa," and starts walking toward her. He doesn't say that. It's just imagining his brain is saying.
I mean, it would work on me.
He goes to her, and then she becomes Bray Wyatt. Real fake out there. Wyatt tries gouging out Braun's eyes. We get more eye gouging. Braun then choke slams him into a dilapidated boat. The boat skedaddles off and then comes back with no Bray in it. Bray whacks him with a paddle. He just springs up out of the water behind him and whacks him with a paddle.
My mom used to do that. With the paddle.
Just gonna sit in that for a while. Want to talk about it? Go ahead.
I've gone to a lot of therapy over this.
Important thing that you had to bring up, yep. So. Alright. So, much like Darla, Steven's mom, Bray whacks Braun Strowman with a paddle and tries to drown him in the swamp, another thing that Steven's mom should have done to him. He succeeds. Braun Strowman has passed away. Psych, he pops out and climbs to safety, coughing and gurgling. There's children's laughter. Bray's back with a paddle, so we get some more paddle battle. Then, after knocking Strowman out, Bray lets out a primal scream. "Please to the gods, look what you made me do! I didn't want this!" Braun hits a big boot, launching Bray into the swamp, and declares it's over. And the title screen pops up like it's over.
It was over.
Psych! A hand pops out and Mandible claws Braun into the water. The water turns red and the Fiend climbs out with laughter. With the laughter is like all the different versions of Bray. It's like all the different Bray laughs. And then you hear, let me in. And that was the actual end of the show. So, no clear rules of how this match works, but I would assume since the last image we see is the Fiend, then the Fiend is the winner of the match.
Clearly. Sure. This
I liked this. This was fun. It goes right along with all the different crazy. I think it goes right along with the Boneyard match. I think it was a little more Boneyard match than the Cena and Wyatt match at Mania.
Cena Wyatt.
It's almost like a combination of the two together, where it like much like the Cena match, it was it told the history of the two together. But it was a little more on the
fighting side.
More on the Boneyard side. It was a good combination of the two together, and I really enjoyed it. I put it right up there with those matches. A lot more in that style than the other script. It was just another fun scripted. I think WWE has been mostly killing it with these.
Yeah, no, I had fun with it. It was super dumb, but in all the best ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just really cheesy.
Interesting note on the Twitter poll, it still remains a perfect 50-50 split between Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman. And that's kind of how it felt at the end. I mean, obviously, Wyatt was intended to be the winner.
This was about as clear-cut an ending as the Sasha match.
I guess the winner is just the one who gets to creepily be alive still at the end.
Right.
And well, it was really cool seeing the water turn red and the Fiend make his appearance.
No more champion.
Yeah. So I think this means we get the a continuation of this.
Yeah, SummerSlam. I think
Strowman and Wyatt, the Fiend. I think we finally see the Fiend come out into the ring for the first time
In
forever. I think we're going to actually get an actual match. We're going to finally see the Fiend's entrance. It's been forever. Won't be the same and without an audience, but yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of when the last time we saw that Fiend entrance was. It's hasn't been at all since the
coronavirus.
Since the Rona. Well, WrestleMania, he didn't actually come out to the ring. John Cena came out and then immediately entered into Bray Wyatt's brain.
Well, I mean, technically, since Corona, once Corona happened, WWE was like, hey, the craziest character we have is the Fiend. We're going to do everything like cinematic and crazy with all of this stuff.
And Bray Wyatt had a match at Backlash, but it wasn't the Fiend character. He came out as the Firefly Funhouse character.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Firefly Bray. So I think we're going to finally see the return of the in-ring return of the Fiend at SummerSlam. And I think the Fiend's going to end up taking the title.
I'd be cool with that. I love the Fiend.
Yep.
One of my favorite things in wrestling right now.
Yeah. So that was the show. That was the horror show at Extreme Rules. It was a fun show. It's just one of these regular monthly pay-per-views. I don't think it was quite as good as Backlash was last month with the greatest match ever of all time ever, which was, you know, really good match. But, you know, wasn't the greatest match of all time. It was a really good match.
No, I enjoyed Horror Show at Extreme Worlds.
Yeah, I liked it.
It was fun.
Yeah, there weren't really any bad matches. Everything was fun. The worst match was Apollo Crews and MVP because it did not happen, and I still don't know what that's all about. You have to, I mean, you can't help but kind of assume the worst, that maybe, you know, he showed up with a fever or something. But I don't want to just assume that, even though I am. Let's hope it's something less nefarious, and then maybe we get that match soon.
Let's hope.
So, yeah. Any other thoughts, Steven?
No, it was a really good show. I really enjoyed the final. I don't know if I would have made that the main event, although I guess it kind of really worked with
the... It worked as the main event.
Especially since they put the did the fake out. I guess that's the biggest reason. Yeah, the fake out was
cool. Sorry, no cough button. the fake out was cool where they put the title screen up to make you think the show was over, and then it continues a little bit longer.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that made it worth it to be in the final match. It really utilized everybody thinking it was over. So, yeah, it was a good show.
All right. Well, that concludes our coverage of the horror show at Extreme Rules. And probably next weekend, we'll be putting up the part two of Kane. All these different special events have kind of slowed down plans, but we're going to put out part two of Kane. And we got some fun stuff coming down the pipe, I guess. So, Steven, how about you plug your pluggables?
Well, you can follow me on Dragon Blazer Productions on Facebook. You can follow me on Dragon Blazer Productions on Instagram. And my Twitter is at Dragon Blazer Pro. All
right. And you can follow this show at PW Apologists on the Twitter. And do not forget to subscribe to us on any and all of your podcast listening apps, shit. So, and if you're listening to us on Apple, make sure to give us the 5-star review.
All the 5 stars.
All the 5 stars. Whether you like us or not, make it 5-star. If you want to criticize us, please criticize us with a 5-star review.
That's right.
And remember, we love pro wrestling, and sometimes that's okay. Mm-hmm.